This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff, coming to you live from our studio in Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget, early in-person voting is underway across Wisconsin, kicked off yesterday. So go cast your ballot. You can do this until November 3rd, and if you have questions, we have a bunch of great articles on our website. Go to civicmedia.us/vote, civicmedia.us/vote. And if you have any questions as well about your registration, there's a link there that will take you to myvote.wi.gov. Check out our website, all kinds of great information, civicmedia.us. Very excited to have our next guest join us. Sid Chartier is a writer. She's also worked in documentary films. She is the author of a recently completed memoir called The Hallelujah Bus. Sid, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I saw your article in the Huffington Post. That is why I reached out to you and wanted to get you on the show. We have talked to another author named Andra Watkins, who had kind of a similar background experience as you did growing up in a very unusual religious upbringing. The headline of your article says, "I lost my family to a terrifying religious group. Now it's happening again with Trump." And tell us, first of all, Sid, what happened with your family?
Well, when I was 15, we were a relatively normal family. This is early 1970s. We were Catholic. We went to church every Sunday. We, you know, went to public schools. My parents had friends, and they'd go out and go to parties, and it was just, you know, normal, or it seemed to be normal. And then my parents got involved with a group called the Move of God. It was kind of a gradual thing. They started out with a group of people from their church that were kind of toying with the charismatic movement, and they started, you know, doing some praying in tongues, and it was all seemed very weird to me, you know, a high schooler.
Right. You're 15.
Right. It was very strange, but it just seemed sort of harmless at first. And then somehow, and I'm not even sure how this all came together, but they got involved with another group in a nearby place that it was more Protestant. And I think they were involved with the Move of God, an apocalyptic fundamentalist Christian cult, I would call it. The Huffington Post wouldn't let me say cult, but I think it was. And things started to change very rapidly once that happened. And this all happened within 6 months of when...
6 months?
Wow.
Yes. Yes. And so that's when things started to change and the rules in our house changed. And the way, you know, my mother stopped wearing her cute 1970s clothes and jewelry. And she started wearing like long, dowdy skirts and sweatshirts and tennis shoes, and stopped wearing makeup. And she schooled my sister, Catherine, who was a year older than I was. So she was a junior and I was a sophomore in high school, that this is how we should look too, because otherwise we were tempting the men into sin. And that if they sinned, it would be on us because of the way we dressed and the way we acted. We just rolled our eyes and said, that's just crazy, and continued to go on as we were. But there was a lot of pressure put on us to not do that. And, you know, the whole short skirt thing was a big deal in the 1970s.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so she wouldn't allow those at that point. And we would just roll our skirts up when we get to school, and that was all fine. So anyway, that was the first thing that really I noticed. They started going you know, to these meetings. The meetings would go from house to house, and they would eventually just drop their friends and distance themselves from our like spread out family, their families, their brothers and sisters and their parents. And it's not that they completely rejected them, but it just became, you know, less frequent that we'd visit. And when it was, it seemed really strange because my parents never talked about this to anybody outside of the group. And they basically became entrenched with these people. And it just, everything just changed, you know, in our house. The rules that, you know, television was of Satan, and, you know, there were demons everywhere. And it was like they became afraid of the world and suspicious of everyone, particularly people with any kind of power, you know, people that are educated, people that are leaders in the community. Those people were really thought of as dangerous because, I mean, I think, you know, looking back on it, my thoughts are that it was because those people could see through what they were doing and the things that they were saying and see, you know, that this is maybe not such a great thing.
I think it's important for folks to realize that, at least in my estimation, I think there are a lot more groups like that than we're aware of. A lot more of these very inclusive, secretive religious groups. I think there are a lot more of those than we're aware of. But the one thread that seems so constant, no matter what, if you came from a Christian nationalist background or a very, very restrictive Christian upbringing, is the fact that the women are pretty much to blame for everything. It's always the woman's fault. Mm-hmm. The man is never, it's all about he's being tempted. You are tempting him. Therefore, it is your fault. If your marriage is not successful, if your husband beats you, it must be what you're doing. It's your fault. That's a very strong through line through all of these things, isn't it?
It definitely is. And in this group, the founder of this organization, The Move of God, was a man named Sam Fife. He's no longer living, but he preached beating your children. And he even bragged about beating his own wife whenever she broke the law, as he called it. So this, I didn't really know of, you know, personally of other wife beatings going on, but it wouldn't surprise me. And I know that you know, the children, I mean, it's well documented in this group that there has been terrible abuse of children in this group, sexual abuse, and it's not a secret among them. Everybody just kind of looks the other way and says, oh, well.
Oh, well?
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
And it's the elders in particular that tend to get away with these things because they are in power. And so it's a terrible problem, you know, and, you know, especially since this group has their end of times farms where people come and live, and there's no outside influence whatsoever in these places. And who knows the depth of what goes on. I've never lived there, but my parents did move there in 1980 with my younger siblings. And they left after 2 years when they finally realized that they were being taken advantage of after my father quit his job and cashed in his pension and sold the house. And nobody will really say, or maybe even knows at this point, how much of that went to them, to the move. But it was probably quite a bit.
You know, Sid, the things you're saying, and it burns me up that Huffington Post, I'm sure it was for legal, wouldn't you allow you to call it a cult, but everything you are saying sounds like, you know, it's the harmless introduction, the charismatic leader, this is an alternative to, you know, Catholicism, not the most exciting religion on earth, but you have someone who has a real bold voice. And the one thing that, you know, you said in your art, in your story was talking about the sound of his voice in your house because your parents would play cassettes of his sermons and shush you because they wanted to listen. I mean, just having that overwhelming influence, there's no, the fact that you, and moving to a farm, giving up their money, that is such cult-like behavior and is not surprising at all because that's just how it always goes, without, hopefully without a tragic end, of course, for some. But I mean, yeah, it's, I mean, I know they, for their reasons, but yes, that was a cult. Absolutely.
Yeah. And in defense of the Huffington Post, it was the lawyers.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, Sid Chartier is a writer. She's also worked in documentary films. She is out with a recently completed memoir called The Hallelujah Bus. And we're talking to her about her article in the HuffPost that says, I lost my family to a terrifying religious group. Now it's happening again with Trump. So let's talk that aspect of it. What similarities are you seeing?
Well, it was so interesting because I felt like I put this whole cult thing behind me after my parents left it. And I had pushed down much of, you know, the trauma of it because it was over. It was over.
Right.
And then I saw Donald Trump and I heard, more precisely, I heard Donald Trump's voice and what he was saying. And it terrified me because it was just... I just felt like I was back in that space again with that voice in my living room, like Sam Fife. And he, you know, the ideas of, you know, having, you know, demonizing immigrants, you know, demonizing that whole idea of that, of the other and making them the enemy and putting fear into people, you know, the scapegoating of groups, large groups of people, and, you know, people that are for the most part not, you know, can't really help themselves
or fight back
yeah. Exactly. And then of course there's also the distrust of the government, and I really had no thoughts when I was younger about this, you know, religious group being also a political cult, that it was. And when I look back at it, and when I, even as I was writing the book, I was going, oh my gosh, you know, the whole thing about, you know, the end of the world and the, you know, the Antichrist and all these, you know, people that they bring in, like, you know, presidents of the United States, and say, oh, that must be the Antichrist. It's all about, you know, establishing a theocratic government, destroying the government that we do have. And it's just, it does remind me.
We're going to continue our conversation with Sid Chartier. Stay with us. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio in Radio Park in Racine, Wisconsin. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our guest is Sid Chartier. She's a writer. She also is the author of a recently completed memoir called The Hallelujah Bus, and has an article in the HuffPost about how she lost her family to a religious group, and sees this happening again with Donald Trump. Before we went to the break, we were talking about some of the similarities in the, is it the arrangement, the hierarchy of cults, Sid?
I think so. Of course, there's the leader who would be Sam Fife, and then in the case of our country right now, Donald Trump. Although I think that, you know, there are a lot of people behind Donald Trump that we don't see, who are pulling a lot of strings, and he is sort of the face of this Christian nationalist right
yes.
now.
Yes.
And you know, he may or may not be personally a Christian nationalist because he didn't seem very Christian to me, but you know, there is a you know, cabal of people behind him. And I think that the thing that's scary is even if we get through this election without electing Donald Trump, this is not going to go away
right
anytime soon. This is going to be, this has been, you know, building for quite some time, and they have, those folks have put things in place, like people in the Supreme Court, as we have seen recently, that is building to something that, you know, in my essay that I wrote, a theocratic government, authoritarian government. And that's, you know, that's a terrifying prospect to think that the United States could have that as our government. But I think that there are a lot of people working to make that happen.
And that is very much a through line through all of Project 2025. Mm-hmm. There is a big Christian nationalist element within that document and the things that they would like to see instituted. Don't let anyone tell you that there's not, because if you look at it closely enough and you read it, granted, it's over 900, it's 900 pages, but that is very much an element of it. And you had mentioned earlier, Sid, that when they talk about demons, the people who follow this kind of religious thought pattern, they mean that literally.
Absolutely. And Sam Fife was a demonologist, is what they called him. And that's how he became famous. He was actually a Baptist minister, and he made his name in the Baptist church from casting out demons. He was an exorcist, really. And I mean, there's plenty of evidence out there, and there's something called the Jane tapes that you can see, or you can actually listen to them on YouTube, of the exorcism of a woman named Jane Miller. And that particular woman was the series of exorcisms that Sam Fife did on her. That's, you know, how he came to power, really. He did fall because of, he got a little crazier even than that, and the Baptists finally kicked him out. But literally, and the thing that is frightening to me is I read and hear so much about people believing in literal demons now. And that, you know, even, you know, Trump saying the enemy within, I mean, that's a suggestion that to people that believe in these things, that these people are possessed by demons, the enemy within, which are Democrats, you know, and anybody that opposes Trump.
Well, I've heard Lance Wallnau, and not everyone is going to be familiar with who he is, but he's very much involved in the NRA, the National Apostolic Reformation, and they too are pushing to turn America into a theocratic government. But now they're calling Kamala Harris Jezebel, and she's a demon ruled by Jezebel. And for folks who might not understand, demons can be any kind of behavior that they find objectionable. So you can have a teenager who likes to laugh loud and wants to, you know, color her hair pink. That can be a demon that needs to be exorcised.
Yes. There's a chapter in my book, Jezebel, because I was apparently, you know, a Jezebel myself, just because I was not adhering to the way that these people thought I should dress and behave. So it's out there. You know, and I really thought it had kind of calmed down and gone away. But, you know, in the last 8-10 years, we've seen otherwise.
And as you said, too, Greg and I were talking about this off the air. I believe there are many more of these little cults, religious groups than we're aware of, because obviously they're not going to broadcast their existence. And the whole thing is about being insular and staying insulated. But again, the goal is to see a theocracy in America, mm-hmm. which is the antithesis of democracy.
Exactly. And the frightening thing, again, is that it's not just the little groups, but the little groups connecting all together with the bigger groups and becoming one in their goal.
But ultimately, some of those people are going to have to get weeded out, because there are slightly differing theologies within some of these groups. We've talked about this too before, is that, yeah, you're in good graces today. Tomorrow, maybe not so much. The goalposts might move, and you are no longer the chosen people.
Well, we can hope that they end up fighting among themselves. That would be a good thing for us. The rest of us who want to be free.
Keep this in mind when you go cast your ballots. Early voting is underway here in Wisconsin. You can vote until November 3rd. We highly encourage you to do so. Sid Chartier has been our guest. It's been a very interesting conversation, Sid. Hopefully this will help get the message out and hopefully give people a little perspective they may not have thought of before.
Well, thank you so much.
Appreciate your time. News is coming up next, and then when we return, Dr. Laura Hanks will be here for a public cervix announcement. We'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Well, That Went Well edition. That's all on the way. Stay here with Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com. Cause baby, now we got bad blood. You know it used to be mad love. So take a look what you've done. Cause baby, now we got bad blood. Hey, now we got problems. And I don't think we can solve them. You made a really deep cut. And baby, now we got bad blood. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Calby coming to you from our studio live at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Todd Allbush Show takes over after the noon news right after us. Host Pat Quitlow and Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, going to join Todd to kick off the show. In hour number two, he'll be talking to Valerie Jarrett. She is the former president of the Obama Foundation, and she'll be talking with Todd and Trigvi about the former president's stop in Madison yesterday. That was a pretty exciting event Madison with former President Obama and Governor Tim Walz. So join Todd today from noon to 2 p.m. across the fine Civic Media Radio Network. Joining us, as she does most wins, Dr. Laura Hanks is here with public cervix announcement. How are you, Dr. Hanks?
Oh, are you muted, Dr. Hanks? We cannot hear.
We cannot hear you. Still can't hear you.
Is this where we talk smack about Dr. Hanks?
Oh, she can hear us.
Oh, darn, she can hear us.
But she is, we for some.
Nothing?
There it is.
There you are.
There it is. We did it.
You're back. You're alive.
Teamwork.
Can you hear me now?
Teamwork.
We can hear you now. How you doing, Dr. Hanks?
I'm good. Thank you. Sorry about that. I'd also wanted to thank Calvin. I love that this recurring walk-up music of Taylor Swift. It's like.
We know you're a fan.
Was that Taylor Swift? I didn't know. Oh.
It's just my favorite, you know.
We know you're a Swiftie. That's all good. That's all good. I wanted to talk about a couple things with you while we've got you on the air. This is from Missouri. The Attorney General renewing a push to restrict access to the abortion pill mifepristone. He actually said in a lawsuit this month that the availability of mifepristone hurts Missouri because of the decreasing number of teenage pregnancies. I thought teenage pregnancy was a bad thing, a bad thing that we wanted to stop teenagers getting pregnant and having children for which they were not prepared. Is that no longer the case?
I got to be honest. You sent me this article. I tried to read it twice and like kept banging my head against the wall.
I know. Like,
I don't understand this thinking, but it's kind of like the world we live in, right? It's just like, wait, what? Like, I don't even have like a better response than that. It's just so outrageous. And why it's not, I don't know. It's not, you know, the 1800s anymore. People are trying to, and you know, if there is a 17 or 18 year old, and I've seen that are married and are ready to have a baby, and that's, you know, totally fine. But that's pretty darn rare. Like I'd say in practicing medicine in 10 years, I've seen that where it's been planned maybe once or twice.
Well, and also if they're a 17 and 18 year old, then they simply wouldn't take the pill. Like they're making it seem like the availability is, it's not availability. Right. It's being forced upon people. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. Like, yeah.
Like there are plenty of medications out there that I can buy if I wanted to. I don't, because sure. I don't need them. So if you don't need to have mifepristone, then I said it right. Wow. I said it right in the first try right there. You don't need to, it makes it seem like there's this epidemic of no children being born to 17 to 19 year old girls.
Right. And I just, yeah, the thinking is scary. I mean, every, you know, like there's so much around abortion care and access that's just scary. And regardless of, you know, restrictions, people are still going to try to find access, and whether that's safe or not, or whether they have the money or not, it's, you know, it's just making it harder to access is the problem.
Well, and this is actually a revised lawsuit because they tried this once before and it got rejected because they said they didn't have standing. So now they're trying it again. The Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, alongside GOP attorneys general in Kansas and in Idaho, their argument is that access to mifepristone has lowered birth rates for teenage mothers, and that contributes to a population loss for the states, along with reduced political representation and loss of federal money. Younger women are more likely to navigate online abortion finders or websites ordering mail order medication to self-manage abortions. So we want the teenage birth rate to go up now. What?
Because we want workers.
Missouri's teenage birth rate has steadily declined over the past several years. According to the CDC, it is still among the highest in the country. But we need more. We need more teen mothers because you're affecting our state's bottom line. That is loony.
Yeah. And just sick, really. I mean, like that you're going to force a teenager to have a baby so you can have more votes. Is that?
Yeah. Like, they are being deprived of potential voters.
Oh God.
And potential.
Like, how do you say that and not and be and how are you able to sleep at night? Like it's just so disturbing.
You have to walk that really fine line where you're talking when you say teenage voting or teenage pregnancy, you mean 18 and 19 year old, but really in their heart of hearts, they mean 16, 17, well, 15 if they found love. You know, like those rules are social mores that they don't have to adhere to. They don't want to, but they'll just make they'll use the 18 and 19 year olds to push the case.
Right.
I will tell you because he probably hasn't rounded on someone a 12, 13, 14 year old that just had a baby, and you walk into the room and they're watching cartoons because they're a child. And it's the most heartbreaking thing where you're like, you're a child and now you have to take care of a baby. And you're watching Saturday morning cartoons. It just hits you like no one should have to go through that. And I mean, that's just one piece of it that I see. But this person clearly has no idea what these patients are going through.
Well, the list of things that men don't know about women's bodies continues to get longer as far as I can tell. They're not getting any smarter about it, especially the ones who are legislating on it.
Yeah. And that's why we need OBGYNs in Congress.
That would be a very good thing.
If there was only someone who was running for Congress who was also an OBGYN.
Don't tell me. It'll come to me.
We're having Shirley.
She's going to be on next week, actually.
Dr. Joel Kitchens.
We're going to have Dr. Lyerly is going to be on the show next week. We will have her on. I believe she's going to join us on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Talk about how her campaign is going up there in the Green Bay area. One other article that I sent you, Dr. Hanks, that I thought we could cover very quickly. A new CNN investigative report has found that infant mortality has spiked in Texas after their six-week abortion ban took effect in 2021. The new data suggesting that the impacts of the bans post-Dobbs have been large enough to affect broader trends. This, I'm sure, does not surprise you.
Not at all. I mean, this is what we said was going to happen, and everyone said that we were being ridiculous. But this, I mean, and I don't mean to be flippant because it's awful and horrible and shouldn't be happening, but this is what happens when you restrict access to abortion. Again, we said it was going to happen here, and here we are. And I think that something that a lot of people also don't know is that in pregnancy, when you don't have well-controlled mental health, so if you have really bad anxiety, depression, or other mental health disorders, you have a higher incidence of preterm labor of small for gestational age babies. And that's not because of the meds, it's because of the illness. So you're going to have poorer outcomes in patients that can't have access, because if they can't have access to abortion, then they're forced to have a baby they don't want. Do you think that they're going to feel great about that?
Right.
No. Like, and so then they're going to have these poor outcomes, and it's not at all surprising, but it's horribly sad, and it's avoidable. It's avoidable. We could have avoided all this.
Yes,
but
we didn't have to be here. Yeah, we didn't have to be here, and yet here we are. Remember this again as you go into the voting booth to cast your ballot and think about what kind of outcomes we want. I do not believe Donald Trump and J.D. Vance when they say that they won't sign a national abortion ban. That is the goal of Project 2025. That is the goal of the Christian nationalist movement. That is the goal, along with getting rid of all forms of contraception.
Can I make a little plug for voting, if it's allowed? I personally, I'm operating on voting day and then have to teach med students from like in the evening. And so I realized I wasn't going to be able to go. And man, is it easy to get a ballot at home. I mean, it took me 2 seconds. So you can just go online. I'd say everyone, like, think about what your voting plan is for November 5th. Like, think about, and if you don't have a plan or don't have a ride, figure out a ride. I'll come pick you up.
Like, no, you can't. You'll be in surgery, and then you'll be teaching.
And then, yeah, right. I'll send you an Uber, I guess. But seriously, like getting an absentee ballot is super easy to do online. It took me 2 seconds. Like, I'm super busy. I don't have time, you know, like even to like do that. And so I don't think there's any good excuse for being too busy. Like, make a plan, find, you know, or get your order, apply for your absentee ballot. Like, it's so, so important. And we're in Wisconsin. It's so important.
It is. It's critical. We are a critical battleground state. The road to the White House is going to go through Wisconsin and essentially Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
We are very, very important in this election. Yeah. One thing I want to mention before I forget about this, and I did not write down his name. I believe it was yet another Republican lawmaker who said that he believed that you could only have a miscarriage during your first pregnancy.
What?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Wait. Yeah.
He believed that a woman could only have a miscarriage the first time she got pregnant.
How do people?
Okay, I know that's not true. Am I just automatically a doctor then? I mean, my goodness, a friend of mine, her mom had 5 miscarriages between my friend and her next sibling.
Yeah.
That's why they named her Joy, because, not because it was her first pregnancy and they had a miscarriage, 5 miscarriages. Why do these men exist? I'm going to say these men.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's just not, it's not true. That's why we're frustrated, obviously, for anyone listening out there. That is a not true statement. People I mean, I had three miscarriages between my two kids, and it's hard. What was his point? I guess, like, what's the point of saying that? Like, is
well,
utterly wrong.
Again, you know, just as far as women's health care, well, how dangerous can it be? How can pregnancy be so dangerous? You know, you only miscarry the first time you get pregnant. And so how bad can it be?
Yeah.
Right. Mm. I don't have enough time to say all the things that can go wrong.
And we have to say FCC compliant, Dr. Hanks.
Right.
Calvin even said on the live stream, he goes, how did he even come up with that? It's like,
but that's like the lawmaker who said that women should be able to swallow a camera to find out if she's got an ectopic pregnancy. The stomach is not connected to the uterus. It's just,
it's not part of the song.
It's detailed.
It's not part of the song. It's
something has gone wrong.
Yes, exactly. Then you need
something gone horribly wrong.
Then you need a really good doctor. Oh boy. All right.
Everyone,
deep breath. Deep breath.
This is what I'm going to do. This is what I do hourly until November.
Right. Next week, we had some questions about Viagra. We had been talking about birth control over the last couple of weeks and that there are other uses for women's birth control. I did not think that there were other uses for Viagra. We'll talk about that next week when you come back. But you're going to stay with us. Dr. Laura Hanks is here. We have This Shouldn't Be a Thing on the way next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio in Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. The number is the same. Call, text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin on a daily basis almost.
He just ruined it right now.
He just ruined it again. She joins us every Wednesday at this time. Dr. Laura Hanks is here for public cervix announcements. Don't forget, folks, that early voting is underway across Wisconsin. You have until November 3rd to go and vote early. If you have questions, go to civicmedia.us/vote, civicmedia.us/vote, and also check out, I have a blog. You can read my blog. I'm asking you a favor in my blog.
Please read my blog.
Everyone has that blog, so we're all blogging. Read my blog, civicmedia.us. All right, it is 11:52. That means, Calvin, it is time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Should you ever have a thing that should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Today's This Shouldn't Be a Thing is from the, well, that went well department. Here's the headline. Woman pulls gun when Uber driver refuses to take her dog for a ride, according to Florida police.
Florida.
I know. Shocker. It's Florida. Uber driver found himself facing the wrath of an armed and angry pet owner when he refused to take her dog along for the ride. Here's what happened. The driver has two women in his car. He takes them to the stop. They say, we're going to pay you for a second stop, but I want you to pick up our friend. At this point, the 27-year-old tried to get into the car with the dog. The Uber driver told her he did not want the dog in his car, so he asked them all to leave. The dog owner became irate and refused to get out. That led to the driver getting out, the woman getting out, at which time she pulled a gun from her bag, threatened the victim, and took his phone. The victim tried to flee the scene in his car. The woman jumped on it, tried to stop him from leaving. Once he got away, he flagged down a bystander, used their phone to call 911 for help. A witness reported the woman with the gun and the dog went to a nearby home and asked someone to give her a ride to a relative's. Here's the kicker line. They stated that she appeared to be in a rush to get out of the area. I would imagine so.
Everyone's trying to leave Florida.
The 9mm believed to have been used was later found under a vehicle at the same home. The woman has been arrested and now charged with armed robbery, grand theft, providing false information during a law enforcement investigation, and will likely face some severe charges. So again, was this the plan? I guess that's what my question is. That went well? Was that what you envisioned when you got your friends to pick you up with your dog, and now you're going to face charges? Did we not think out the crime? Did we not think out the ride? What was the goal of this? I'm confused.
I don't think there was a goal.
Well, I think it's just that idea of I'm going to get in this Uber.
And I want to bring my dog.
Oh, I can't bring my dog? Well, of course not. Click, click. There you go. Let me, like, that idea of going from I can't have my dog to I will pull a gun out of my pocket on my person, and I will solve this dilemma as one Florida person always does.
Because it's always a good way to get someone to give you a ride is at gunpoint.
Yeah, I guess. We're not role models.
No,
don't do this at home. I don't care if you live in Florida. Don't do this.
Yeah, don't. That's a bad. It's a bad idea. And don't do that.
I want to know what her friends were thinking. Were they like, oh, Cheryl?
There goes Cheryl again.
Cheryl just being Cheryl.
Oh, Cheryl, stop it. It'll be fine.
It's not even loaded. Don't worry. Just let the dog in. Be quiet.
All right. That is today's edition of Calvin.
This shouldn't be a thing.
We would love to hear your thing that you think should not be. So send it in to Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Dr. Laura Hanks, thank you so much for your time. You have a very, very, very busy life.
That's true.
You do. And we really appreciate you carving out a little piece of it for us. Next week we will talk Viagra, and we will. And if you ever have a medical question for Dr. Hanks, and it does not have to be OBGYN related, you can email that to us as well at janesays@civicmedia.us. All right. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone across Civic Media. Without you guys, absolutely nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. News is coming up next, followed by Todd Alba. Keep it right here on the vast statewide, countrywide, global Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you in the morning.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.